go red. That's right. Start up your crimson Ferrari on the street and watch the heads turn. It takes a certain personality and a certain bank account to want to gather a crowd around a cloud of red that says, hey, look, a red Ferrari is equal parts masculine swagger and feminine curves. All for the tidy sum of $270,000. But you don't have to spend even close to that to get the same head turns on the street. For $20, one hot red lipstick will get you all the curves and standout horsepower you need on a summer day. Heck, author Madeline Marsh has the confidence to take on a Ferrari in a one-on-one street fight. The author of Compact and Cosmetics says strong women have been winning street battles with the color red on their lips for a lot longer than Ferraris have been around.
Red lipstick is in fact about female strength. Lipstick came in the 20th century, and the first and most famous manifestation of red lipstick was in fact in New York, when the suffragettes took to the streets, banded together, and as part of their defiance and their fight for the vote, they all wore bright red lipstick. And, you know, again, looking through history, you can see that during the war in Britain, I mean, cosmetics were certainly hard to come across because we were making more important things. But the lipstick that was being made was given names like Fighting Red, Patriot Red, Grenadier Red. And ladies were encouraged to look your best, to do your best. So, you know, on the one hand, lipstick is always portrayed as being about sexuality. But that strong vein and the power of women and the power of presenting yourself in a sort of strong way is always there too.
And I don't know, you know, where that history comes from, but it's alive and well in my house. I've got three daughters, and my soft-spoken, maybe slightly reserved, I wouldn't call her shy exactly, daughter, she wears kind of skin-colored lipstick. But my other two daughters, who, you know, are kind of like, you know, fighter pilots of feminism, red lipstick all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always very much been about strength. In the 1970s, lipstick went out, you know, along with shaving your legs and whatnot, and part of the feminist revolution was not wearing makeup, and makeup and cosmetics, lipstick, shaving, they were all portrayed very much as sort of patriarchal oppression. But if you think of Rosie the Riveter, I mean, there she is, this big butch lady in her overalls with arms like prize-winning hams, yet she's got hennaed hair, red nail varnish, and bright red lipstick. So, you know, you can be a lipstick feminist quite happily.
Now, isn't there this kind of, you know, anthropological kind of emphasize the lips because, you know, they are already emphasized, right? And so that's...
Well, I think it always makes sense to emphasize the most expressive parts of your face. But, you know, really, since the dawn of time, woman has decorated herself. And the earliest representation that I found of lipstick was an ancient Egyptian papyrus. And this was, in fact, an erotic papyrus. So it was the Egyptian version of a girly magazine. And there was a picture of a giant phallus on top of which was seated a naked lady calmly painting her lips. And yeah, exactly like those 40s pinups, you might have no clothes on, but blow me, your hair and makeup were always going to be perfect.
Sitting comfortably on a giant phallus. Did you just say that, Madeline?
I did. Yeah. I have no shame.
Yeah.
You see, once I've got my red lipstick on, that's it. Fear is just a memory. But what do you feel about red lipstick on a woman?
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's absolutely great. I mean, I do wonder, that must require a lot of maintenance because, you know, it does tend to fade as time goes on. And, you know, it's hard to keep that, you know, that Ferrari
absolutely
red look, you know, that you want. But you know, I am amazed at how quickly and stealthily women can kind of, you know, redo the paint job there.
Oh, well, one of my favorite sights is on the tube in the morning in London. When you see girls doing this full makeup, like everything, so they come in, you know, barefaced, and by the time they've gone five stops, they've done the whole thing. And what, you know, what's interesting about lipstick and about makeup was that, you know, initially Yeah, I didn't say in the very early 20th century, it was regarded as, you know, terrible. You had to be a prostitute or an actress if you were painting your face. But when cosmetics and lipsticks became acceptable, which was after World War One, suddenly what came with them, and in fact invented by you, well, not you personally, obviously, but I'm taking you as a representative of your nation, invented by the Americans, was the portable, the metal lipstick tube with the push-up lever and the swiveling lipstick. And once you could, you know, put these things, once they were safely packaged, no stopping them. And it became acceptable to put your makeup on in public. But, you know, not everybody liked it. And a great opponent of this was Coco Chanel, who in fact thought that red lipstick and red nail varnish were both exquisitely vulgar. Hated the fact that ladies, when they came to her house, would leave their little cosmetic cases on the table. It's very vulgar. How can they do that? And was furious. She says, as the red lipstick, it marked my glasses and my table linen. If they come like that, I give them paper serviettes.
And if you look at the old, you know, ads in newspapers and magazines, I mean, it's really a throwback to the 1700s without all of the heavy rigging. You know what I mean?
The ads are fascinating because cosmetics and lipstick, it can seem like quite a trivial subject, ooey, very girly. But in fact, it's about much more than that, because it shows us what we expect women to be at particular periods. You know, like, say, the war thing, when, you know, having your lipstick on was part of your fight against the enemy. And actually, while we're on the topic of war, Hitler hated lipstick, said it was made from animal fat rescued from sewage. The Aryan ideal was a pure, unscrubbed face. And visitors to Hitler's sort of country retreat, lady visitors were given a little list of things they must not do. Avoid excessive cosmetics, avoid red lipstick, and on no account ever to colour their nails.
So I know you're married now. And
I am.
I don't want to create any problems here. Of course he is. But can you give me a case of where you know that your evening, your date, your romantic encounter really hinged upon the lipstick and that was the thing that was working for you?
No, because I think men don't really notice a lot of the time, and I think the people who notice are women. And I really think it's about how we feel about ourselves. And I look back over the list of my husbands and boyfriends, and I don't think any of them really give a monkey's, quite frankly. I think it's about how you feel about yourself, and that makes you attractive.
Wisdom for the ages from Madeline Marsh, the author of Compact and Cosmetics. Thanks so much.
Thank you indeed.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.